past the hour, and welcome to this evening's program. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, the head-on radio network, America's liberal voice. We like to call what we do around here conversation radio, and I hope you find it as stimulating and as engaging as do I. What a beautiful day here. I mean, spring has sprung, and it sprang right past spring into summer. 85 degrees outside, even as I speak. If I could fit you, well, one of these days we may try this, doing the show outside, when we're absolutely certain that it won't rain, which means never. This is, after all, a temperate rainforest here, the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful, almost level West Bicot, Virginia. No, it's gorgeous outside, and I've got the evening sun coming through the studio windows here. Don't even have the lights on. Saving some little chunk of mountain. And we have reached the middle of the week. Broadcast Monday, broadcast Tuesday. I'm sorry, but I don't mean for it to sound surprising. I hate the amount of time that I've been away from the microphone. But golly, it feels good to get three straight shows under my belt. And, like I said, we've reached the middle of the week. We've reached Wednesday. Hump day, if you will. Downhill to Friday. And you know what that means. That's right. Brethren and sisters, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah, glory. Get out your prayer hankies and wipe down real good, because we're going to be glorifying and testifying. Here we'll be passing the plate amongst the congregation. In the bottom of the plate, you'll find a little button that says PayPal on it. And if you'll go to headonradionetwork.com, you'll find the PayPal button, if it is back yet. If it is not, however, back, you may always PayPal to this my email address, which is the relevant address for the PayPal account, bobkincaid@gmail.com. So the plate will begin passing around as we send the plate amongst the congregation and call for our minister of music to step forward, brethren and sister, and lead us in the opening hymn.
Gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs. And soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, what slut Ralston on the real raw and a brawler brawler suet. I love you. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters. Go out there, grab them deacons, drag them in here, drag them through the vestibule. Don't let them get their grubby mitts on them 20-year-old breath mints there, the butter mints and the little candy dish in the vestibule by the entry to the sanctuary. They done had their fill down in the fellowship hall on Fellowship Dinner Wednesday. Bring them on in here, and the rest of y'all too. Come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees. Fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands. Oh, do it, brethren and sisters. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Ultimate Pope Supreme Rabbi. You already used ultimate. Maximum Imam. Animated animist Bob Kincaid is here as the Cathedral of Common Sense. I don't often break character, but daggum it, screwed up. And you are invited, brethren and sisters, hallelujah, glory, amen. Ha! You are invited to fill your mind with understanding on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes, you are, glory, hallelujah. Amen and amen. We have glorifying stories for you this evening. We can begin in Alaska. What did Delaware? I don't know. Alaska. Little state humor there. In Alaska, we will begin. We'll begin with the ubiquitously named State Representative Alan Dick. Standing up for the Word of God when he remarked recently that he doesn't believe that when a woman is pregnant, it's really her pregnancy. He says he'd advocate for criminalizing women. Send them to prison. Hang them up. Crucify them. Nail some sense into them who have an abortion without the permission via written signature from the man who impregnated her. He said, if I thought that the man's signature was required in order for a woman to have an abortion, I'd have a little more peace about it. Ha! That's what he said. And brethren and sisters, the progressives and the liberals out there, they're wringing their hands and looking about and not understanding what would make a man say such a thing when the fact of the matter is he is only behaving in glorious, godly, biblical fashion. Yes, indeedy, amen, hallelujah, glory, sanctify, testify, witness, and hallelujah, the glory of the Lord. Do I mean, brethren and sisters? And let me tell you, let's turn in our Bibles right over there to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, fine Corinthian leather. Yes, indeedy. You must remember that Paul was a tent maker, and that's why he went to Corinth for that fine Corinthian leather that's later on Ricardo Montalban in the 1970s would tell us so much about in advertisements for the Chrysler Cordoba. Fine, handcrafted Corinthian leather. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah, glory, brethren and sistren. Let us go down to the 34th verse. Remember that it is necessary, brethren and sisters, to understand that every word is literal. Every word is actual. Every word is factual. It is not to be interpreted. It is merely to be read and to be obeyed. Glory, hallelujah, for obedience is the heart of salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, and it is a big if, brethren and sistren, a mighty big if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Glory, hallelujah. Hear and obey the word of the Lord. Amen and amen. Really? That really is where that hateful crap comes from. That's where Alaska legislators named Dick, Alan Dick, Alan Dick, whatever, that's where they get the notion that they can require that it would be better off if women had the permission slip, you know, just like you need to in elementary school to go down the hall to go tinkle in the little boy or little girl's room, a permission slip from their husbands. Because after all, if a woman can learn anything, she must learn it in the home. And, well, sexual obedience begins in the home. It ain't nothing but a whipping or two. Can't make clear, don't you understand? Hallelujah, glory, amen, worlds without end. If I thought that the man's signature was required in order for a woman to have an abortion, I'd have a little more peace about it. It's astonishing. Not that right-wingers and fundamentalists and basically American Taliban types behave this way, but here, this far into the process, there are those on our side who are still going, what makes them be like this? The Bible, brethren and sistren, the Bible makes them be like this. How hard can it be to figure out when it's writ right there in front of your eyes and our eyes? But you got to open it before you can read it, don't you understand? Amen and amen. We have another reading, brethren and sisters. We have another reading. We have another reading this evening. This reading comes to us from the Old Testament. It comes to us from the book of Tebow. And the Lord God did say unto Timmy, yea, forsooth, lo, behold, and shamwow, I will send thee unto Gotham, home of heathens, homos, and harlots, and ye shall cry against them, just as quick as thou dost raise thy fundament from the surface that is artificial. Hallelujah, glory. And yea, verily, Tebow did not wish to go unto Gotham, Gomorrah, Gotham, Sodom by the Meadowlands. He did not wish to go, and he said, Lord, send me not. And God said, thou shalt go. And Tebow said, but Lord, what about my contract? And God said, let that be a lesson unto the unbelievers, that it shall cost them mightily for thou to be sent away from this holy ground of Colorado unto that heathen center of harlots, homos, and heathens. Amen. And yea, verily, lo and behold, forsooth, and shamwell, did Tebow try to escape and run away. But the Lord God said, run ye not, lest all thy receivers be covered. I will send thee unto Gotham, Gomorrah, and thou shalt testify and witness among the harlots, the heathens, and the homos. And thou shalt bring them unto mine glory. Amen and amen. And so it was that Tebow, who had been known as a bronco among men, cast off his orange and blue raiment and did head for Gotham, head for Sodom on the East River, where he would become known as a jet and wear the green and white. And Tebow did cry out unto the Lord, and did say unto the Lord, Lord, you got a funny way of showing me, you got a funny way of teaching me, Lord. I mean, a fourth round draft pick, Jeebus? Really? A fourth round draft pick for me, thy humble hand servant? And the Lord did say unto Tebow, lo and behold, forsooth, and shamwow, we get what we can get in the days before the draft, and thy value will only continue to plummet. Amen and amen. And Tebow did go unto the Jets. Or that's the way the book reads. I was going to do the whole Book of Jonah thing, but I couldn't figure out a way. Couldn't figure out a way to get him work in Nineveh with New York. Well, you know, it's kind of alliterative, but now there you. But that's what you know. Well, I will go to New York and I will witness in New York, for it is the largest television market there is. Hallelujah! And I will bring many souls to Christ. But as Dr. John pointed out to me in an email, Keith Olbermann already remarked, my God, he can't even complete a trade. Please. I said the other night I wanted him to, many and manifest are the mysterious ways of the Lord. And I said the other night that I wanted him to go to Oakland, but that was, Lord, that was only because I couldn't imagine you working your majesty and mystery in a way to send him to New York. Oh, send him where thou wilt, O Lord. Send him where thou wilt. Send him one by one or two by two, or depending on which defense has gotten a hold of him, in pieces. Send him, Lord. Send him. Ray noting, who I'm told by Kim is listening in his man cave. Ray noting the Jets. Jesus really did break it off in him. For a fourth-round draft pick. So, that's the... you know, there had to be a couple of giggles along the way. Granted, there isn't much funny about these fundamentalists. I mean, really, there's not a dime's worth of difference between some fundamentalist... in Saudi Arabia or Iran or anywhere else over there, or Tel Aviv, fundamentalists is fundamentalists. They're all trouble. They'll all get you up to your ankles in blood if you stop paying attention to them. And a fundamentalist in Alaska. Or Arizona, for that matter. I watched a 4th of July message from some woman who's either is or wants to be a state senator from Arizona, And I looked down at the clock and was like, no, this is too early. This is too early. All out there are quoting Thomas Jefferson, which may have actually been quotes by Thomas Jefferson or not, you know, because they're fundies and the truth ain't in them and they make stuff up a lot. Dr. John asking, how about this? How about requiring a woman's written permission before this Alaska goober can have sex with her? I see a long dry spell in his future. Ain't that the truth? But the shock and surprise only comes to those who don't understand that these goobers are operating out of a literalist, fundamentalist interpretation of a book that is badly flawed. See, every now and then I get an email from one of you guys saying, Bob, why don't you run for office? Because of things like what I just said. See, it's all, unlike Flush, this is all out there for anybody who wants to listen to listen. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear, like the book says. But you can't be saying things like the Bible is badly flawed, or the next thing you know, the Tennessee legislature is done writing up a bill to make sure that all them unflaws get taught in the school system as being scientific fact. No, it really happened. It's happened. It's on the desk of the governor, who was a Republican, for his signature. Not kidding. It had been thought to have sort of dwindled and dribbled away last year, but it came back with a vengeance. HB 368 SB 893. The sponsors are Representative Bill Dunn of Knoxville, or Pig Lickin, and Senator Bo Watson, or Pig Lickin from Hickson. And all administrators and educators in the public school system of Tennessee are to teach the origins of life, global warming, human cloning, and biological evolution as scientific controversies. It's controversial, at least to them. They're not to scientists or anything. That's been made clear by, let me get a good deep breath here, the National Association of Biology Teachers, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee, the American Institute for Biological Sciences, the Knoxville News Sentinel, the National Tennessean, the National Association of Geoscience Teachers, the National Earth Science Teachers Association, the Tennessee Science Teachers Association, and all 8 Tennessee members of the National Academy of Sciences. They've all made it clear that they oppose the legislation, that this is really bad and backwards and embarrassing for the state of Tennessee. And it is embarrassing for the state of Tennessee because there's so much good about the state of Tennessee. So very much good. It's got to hurt. I can just imagine my head writer, David, in Tennessee's kind of, not again, one of those moments. Yeah, the teaching of some scientific subjects, including but not limited to biological evolution, the chemical origins of life, global warming, and human cloning, can cause controversy. See, no, teaching that doesn't cause controversy. Ignorance of what is being taught, and religious bigotry, and religious insanity, and religious fundamentalism and literalism can cause controversy. But the subjects themselves cannot cause, just can't cause controversy.
How can, like, an African-American person evolve from a white person? We're different skin.
See what I mean? We're different skin. I'll say Peckerwood. Different brain, too. And a much tinier one into the bargain. The State Board of Education, public elementary and secondary school governing authorities, directors of schools, school system administrators, and public elementary and secondary school principals and administrators shall endeavor to assist teachers to find effective ways to present the science curriculum as it addresses scientific controversies. So the next thing you know, that of pandas and people thing is going to be finding its creepy way creepy way into the schools of the state of Tennessee. Now, I'm sure every year somebody, probably no small amount of kids from Tennessee, make it into Ivy League schools, excellent schools elsewhere, but yet can't help thinking the numbers are going to drop with legislation like this. You know what happens when they go off to college? They forget their baptizing, and the next thing you know, they're out there publicly and privately dancing, listening to music that ain't being sung from the heart and made melody in the heart, and instead there's all kinds of devilment musical instruments around, and they're just gone to hell. I had an email from Ray before the program started. And Ray said, you know, I grieve. I grieve for my nation. He said, this kind of ignorance just knocks all the hope and sunshine right out of me. And I'm sorry, Ray. You can't let that happen. You can't let it do that to you. Just being aware of the world in which you live should not take the joy out of it. Being aware of the profound ignorance that walks around in human skin bags all around us should not make us enjoy our existence any less. For it is in the examination of life that life, at least according to Plato, Socrates via Plato, becomes worth living. So that's a little help, I hope. Yeah, David in Tennessee noting. See what happens when the poo-slinging jack-a-nape Republicans take over, it's a full-on assault on science. I hope the governor pockets the damn bill. I do too, but David, tell me if I'm wrong. He ain't never getting reelected governor nor so much as the dog catcher if he does that. I mean, this bill didn't just pass. I mean, it passed. Like salts. Like something through a goose, it passed. At the same time, because, and I've been through Tennessee several times in the last few years, always enjoy it. Also, there are no problems left in Tennessee. All problems have been solved because the legislature, by a vote of 93-9 in the Tennessee House, 93-9, the Tennessee House passed a bill to permit the display of the Ten Commandments in public buildings. Oddly enough, they didn't pass a bill allowing the display of signs saying things like, "No guns!" Nope, Ten Commandments gonna stop all bullets. And just for those of you who like to keep track of such things, the heat wave striking Tennessee right now is blowing all previous records out of the water. Temperatures across Tennessee are running about 25 degrees Fahrenheit above anything previously considered normal. Welcome to the new normal. Yeah, I got up this morning and I thought I had a pretty good prayer meeting Wednesday all lined out. And then about halfway through the day, I looked up and went, wait, what happened to my prayer meeting Wednesday show? Because it kept rewriting itself. This one can't be avoided. Just can't. Have to deal with it. And as we go through the details of this story, with which many of you are, I am sure, by now, familiar, as we go through the details of this story, ask yourself a question. What if a business did this? What if a private individual did this? What if a school, a public school, did this? What if a government did this? What would happen to any entity that did this? And I think the answer would come to you pretty quick. That whatever entity perpetrated it would cease to exist, and its mention would, well, it would quickly fade from any sort of respectable public consciousness, and instead, be referenced only as, like, what, a cautionary tale of things gone horribly, horribly wrong. And the story is, of course, the one that comes out of the Netherlands. It's a story from the 1950s. It's a story, of course, of the Roman Catholic Church. This breaking story has shocked and sickened most everybody who's read it, except perhaps with the exception of, you know, Rick Santorum and that bunch. It turns out that in the 1950s, the church developed a policy. Now, I find this difficult to talk about, not because of the anatomy involved, just because it's so godforsaken sickening. As happened so many millions of times over, the clergy in the Netherlands had a propensity for having sex with little boys. And in the case of one individual, God Almighty, and I can't necessarily pronounce the name, Hink Hethus? Hethus? Hink Hethus was 20 years old when he leveled a charge that he had been, while a minor, sexually abused in a Catholic boarding home. He was taken to the hospital and castrated. You know, cut away the gay. He was castrated at 20 years old, a year under the age of consent. He died in a car wreck 2 years after his castration, at the hands of the church. He was also subjected to the tender mercies of a Roman Catholic psychiatric hospital. Court papers claim he was castrated at his own request, but there is no evidence, no documentation of any form of written consent. Sources told Jep Doman, an investigative reporter who uncovered all of this evil, that castration was deemed a treatment for homosexuality as well as being a punishment for those who accused clergy of sexual abuse. Witnesses do yet survive. One witness is a well-known Dutch sculptor named Cornelius Roga. He's 79 years old. He said, "We once asked Hank to drop his pants when the women were gone. He did that. He was maimed totally. It was a huge shock." Cornelius Roga had tried to report what had happened to the young man to the proper authorities, but his report was ignored. In the course of investigating the whole matter, Mr. Doman, who did the work, also uncovered evidence of at least, emphasis on the two words, at least 9 other church-insisted castrations. If a business did this, the business would be shut down. If an individual did this, and the individual would be subjected to justice and likely imprisoned. If a government did this, that government would likely topple, or at least pay some sort of reparations. But the church did this, and since the church sells tickets into and out of an imaginary place of eternal torment, it got away with it. Because it rules not by the love of not by the love manifested by a Palestinian day laborer, but because of the fear it can engender through its vast, vast power. Kadia Arib, a Labour member of Parliament in the Netherlands, said, "I'm shocked that boys were being castrated in the 1950s. I want an independent investigation. We must find out how many cases there were, who knew about it, and why the government did not act." Sure, find out all of that you want, but until such time as you drive that institution from your territorial borders, there will be no justice. There are even allegations that a former Dutch prime minister was linked to the case. The individual was the chairman of the ironically named Gelderland Children's Home, where Mr. Hathus and other children were serially abused. He died in 1975, but while he was alive, he intervened on a number of instances to make sure that several priests who had been harming boys were not charged, or if charged, that they did not go to prison for their monstrous acts. I don't know what you do with a story like this. I honestly don't. I don't know how you stop it from ever happening. Again, without cutting out the root of the problem. And the root of the problem isn't a bad priest, but rather an entirely bad institution. Good God, can you imagine if this scandal had arisen out of a mosque? What would the response be? You get the point. But if it provides you any comfort, you can at least take comfort in the knowledge that, what? Yes, it turns out, because I believe it was Albert who mentioned his name last night, it turns out Dan Savage, well, Rick Santorum has said that he is praying for Dan Savage. He said he obviously has some serious issues. You look at someone like that who can say and do the things that he's doing, and you just pray for him, and hopefully he can find peace. There's no evidence that Dan Savage is found wanting in peace. The only people out there who are keeping peace from Dan Savage are the likes of Rick Santorum, the homophobes, the sick bigots, the religiously insane, fervid, fetid-minded zealots who would like to impose their sick belief systems on all of us. I might add, against our will. What nerve? Well, I just pray that he finds some peace. You stinking bastard. What a smarmy load of crap. Who in God's name is Rick Santorum to suggest that Dan Savage is found wanting in the area of peace? Every time I've ever heard or seen or Dan Savage speak or seen anything he writes, there's nothing there to indicate that he is found deficient in the peace department. It's pretty clear that he's very well developed in the brains department. Maybe Dan Savage can write back, well, you know, thanks but no thanks for the prayers there, Rick. I'll see if I can't pray that you find some brains. Because honest to God, Rick Santorum couldn't pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel, could he? And I guess it's getting even worse. For Rick Santorum. Because now Arlen Specter's after him.
It hasn't gone so far as to make Rick Santorum the Republican nominee. When Rick takes positions that women don't belong in the workplace, when he takes positions that the gay issue is bestiality, a man on dog, and the contraception ought not to be ought to be followed, he is so far out of the mainstream that I think even the Republican Party won't take it.
Yeah, but remember what he said in the last couple of days. Only people who take their faith seriously vote for Rick. The rest of us are just heathens. Ah, see, Brandon's ahead of the curve. Santorum's praying for Dan Savage. Brandon says, what's he praying for? His death? A little imprecatory prayer going on there? I wouldn't doubt it for an instant, Brandon. You know how the minds work. Maura, offering this, she says, how to stop the Roman Catholic Church? Not unlike the KKK, the church must be brought down monetarily. The Southern Poverty Leadership Council did it with lawsuits versus the KKK. And frankly, until such time as they, eventually there's got to be an auctioneer standing in the middle of St. Peter's Square. My God, it could be, St. Peter's could be a humongous disco. It'd be nice. I could like that. But Maura has a point. And those lawsuits are continuing, but their friends are trying to make sure that the lawsuits get stopped, that they become immune to judgment. Now, Lottie, you're being mean. I'd rather see a nuke in St. Peter's Square. But that would take down, I know, just a little one, Lottie, I understand. That means you're just a little bit mean. But then you'd lose things like the Pantheon and stuff that really matters. The Forum and the Flavian Amphitheater and what remains of the Circus Maximus. I can't have that being all radioactive because at some point in time, I still have a desire to go and see it. Again. Okay, you win. See, what a rational man Lottie is. But I think it was only when I mentioned all the other stuff we'd lose. God, you look at something like the Vatican and you think of all the blood that those bricks and stones are soaked with. All the human agony. All the little boys. And you wonder how anyone has the nerve to call that space holy or sacred. Interesting. A tweet today from Pink Slime, our good buddy Thomas, also known as Jug of Punch, sending this in. A saint martyred and a ram sacrificed. Is it Passover already? Nice, nice. But it's not all, well... Okay, this is going to take some explaining, so bear with me, please. I was over at Alternet today, and I read a fascinating story that came out of the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's a Southern Poverty Law Center intelligence report by Arthur Goldwag. And its title is Leader's Suicide Reveals Frightening Violent Organized Misogyny Movement. Sounds like the church, but it's not exactly. But it kind of still is. Remember, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind, all right? The report itself centers on something that happened a while back, shortly before Anders Breivik started shooting in Norway. And the report opens with the report detailing the account of the last days of an individual by the name of Thomas James Ball. He led the Worcester branch. See, I can say Worcester. No pronunciation corrections in the email, please. He was the leader of the Worcester branch of the Massachusetts-based Fatherhood Coalition. About 9 months ago, he stood outside the Cheshire County, New Hampshire courthouse, doused himself with gasoline, and set himself on fire. He was dead within minutes. Before he did that, however, he sent a manifesto, something he called a last statement, to the Keene Sentinel, Keene, New Hampshire. He said his troubles all began when he smacked his 4-year-old daughter and bloodied her mouth after she licked his hand as he was putting her to bed. Lick my hand? Whack! "25 years ago, the federal government declared war on men. It is time to see how committed they are to their cause. It is time, boys, to give them a taste of war. There will be some casualties in this war, some killed, some wounded, some captured. Some of them will be theirs. Some of the casualties will be ours." This is the Fatherhood Rights Movement. Also, in his screed, he gave tips on how to make a Molotov cocktail and suggested that people who read his manifesto should take their Molotov cocktails and use them in courthouses and police stations. This is chilling. One individual referred to Mr. Ball in what is called now the manosphere. Manosphere? Doesn't that mean the hand sphere? We'll leave that possible joke alone. One individual referred to Thomas Ball saying, "He died for our children." And these people despise females. Just like the American right-wing repiglickens despise females. One individual attacked a feminist by the name of Amanda Marcotte. Apparently the men's rights, so-called men's rights movement, really despises her. Misandry is a website. I guess that's the opposite of misogyny. A poster there said, "Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. She is evil, and such a vile evil that she is a disease that needs to be cut out of the human consciousness, just like the rest of the feminazi ass harpies." Did you notice a special word there? Feminazi. Where did that word come from? Why, it comes from none other than the very head of the Republican Party. It comes from Rush Limbaugh. Feminazis. Feminazis. Equating women who want to have basic human rights in a supposedly advanced culture, equating them with the fascist monsters who slaughtered millions. Feminazi. The story is chilling. It goes on at great length explaining exactly how much hate is held within this movement, so-called movement. But for me, reading it was not so much about understanding a very cranky corner of the family court universe, but rather seeing in the language and seeing in the hatred where all the seeds of all the hate that we see, the misogynistic hate that we see blossoming across this country in the form of activist, insurgent, reactionary Republican legislatures, seeing where that comes from. Some experts, this report says, Some experts argue that men's rights groups have been remarkably successful. The groups, says Rita Smith, director of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, quote, have taken over the way courts deal with custody issues, particularly when there are allegations of abuse, largely by convincing them that there is such a thing as parental... Oh, here's a new... you know, the Texas law that went into effect Sandra and I talked a little bit about last night. That Texas law requires women to be told that getting an abortion can give them the breast cancer. That's a real favorite of the control the uterus crowd, even though there's not a shred of scientific evidence to suggest that there's any truth in it whatsoever. It's been debunked countless times. Well, they've got another one, and it's called parental alienation syndrome. PAS is supposed to be a clinical disorder in which a child compulsively belittles one parent due to indoctrination by the other, frequently leveling false allegations of abuse. It is recognized neither by the association, the American Psychiatric Association, or by the World Health Organization as any form of clinical disorder. Rita Smith, however, says that using that that bit of alchemical baloney, these groups have just the same, quote, been able to get custody evaluators, mediators, guardians ad litem, and child protective service workers to believe that women and children lie about abuse. Another individual runs a website, a creep by the name of Paul Elam. He set it up right after the self-immolation of Thomas Ball. And he publishes personal data on women that he has determined are deserving of his and other misogynists' wrath. He has written, quote, if Mary Jane Rottencrotch decides to falsely accuse her husband of domestic violence in order to get the upper hand in a divorce, he has an internet radio show too, by the way, we can publish all her personal information on the website, including her name, address, phone number, even her routes to and from work. They published 250 or so photos of alleged evildoers who happened to be women. Notice the name he used, Mary Jane Rottencrotch. These sick bastards can't help but define women by their genitalia. Why not Mary Jane Bad Brain? That even rhymes! How about Francine, poor human being? That rhymes too. It's catchy. But no, there has to be a reference to her reproductive elements. This creep has offered a cash reward in exchange for finding out the real name of a feminist blogger whom he hates. It goes, this is a very long report. Read it. Like I said, I found it at Alternet. It's up toward the top. Leader's suicide reveals frightening, violent, organized misogyny movement. Anybody want to bet which way these creeps vote? Because I just don't see them being registered members of the Democratic Party, do you? No. No, it's not Arlie Ermey that I'm talking about, Marty, but you know what? He'd probably fit right in, wouldn't he? Now, that's a reference to, what is it, Full Metal Jacket? Is that where the word comes from? Feminazi, Rottencrotch. The hatred of women merely for their genetic makeup, something they could not, nor necessarily should want to or could want to, have any determination in. And that's why the hatred pours forth. That's the same rotten place that that words like, if I thought the man's signature was required in order for a woman to have an abortion, I'd have a little more peace about it. And it all traces back to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Doubt me? Here. Let's try old John Hagee on for size.
There are four angels released by God Himself to destroy one-third of mankind in one day. The Bible says there is a year, a month, a day, and an hour that God picked out from Genesis 1. That one-third of mankind on that day, by the will and hand of God, will be destroyed. You say, I have a hard time believing that. May I refer you to Noah and the flood? Believe it. In America, we have something over 300 million people. That means 100 million people in this country in 24 hours gone. You've heard me say that I believe God will require a life for every child killed in every abortion clinic in America. I believe that's where the tally is going to be set, right there.
Thanks to the folks at Right Wing Watch for the noble work they do in exposing this hate. So if it's going to be a life for a life, well, who do you reckon's life it'll be? Why, it'll be the filthy women! Of course. Of course. And what was it that Thomas Ball advocated that his followers do? Yeah. Little announcement coming from the fire department in Fort Worth, Texas today. TPM reporting police have arrested an individual in the firebombing of Texas State Senator Wendy Davis's office in Fort Worth. Fire Captain Tom Crow said the person was arrested overnight and police and fire officials would be holding a news conference to reveal the attacker's name. I haven't gotten the follow-up on it. Davis, a Democrat, was not in the office when a pair of Molotov cocktails hit the door on Tuesday afternoon, but two of her staffers were. Now, here's the big ha-ha of the story. Of course, I guess you have to say this kind of crap when you're in Texas. Fire Captain Tom Crow said, "It is still unclear whether the attack was politically motivated." I don't have any information regarding motivations right now. That's not to say it is or it isn't. I'm just not aware of it. We have a duck. It quacks like a duck. It walks like a duck. But we are not prepared to say that what we have is a duck. There will be some casualties in this war. Some killed. Some wounded, some captured. Some of them will be theirs. Some of the casualties will be ours. You see, the killed, the wounded, and the captured refers to some of theirs. The casualties will be among the menfolk. This is where we are. This is where we live. Here at the front end of the second decade of the 21st century, when we ought to be thinking about missions to Mars, we get this. But there is a purpose to all of this over this last hour or so of this filibobster. And that is simply to point out that there is a reality and a cohesiveness and a unity of purpose in all of this. Whether it's the misogyny of the so-called misandry movement, the phony baloney oppression the fundamentalist literalist churchers adhere to, the politics that they espouse, and the apocalyptic visions that fuel, as Ray notes, sick sexual fantasies with no basis in scriptures. They all come together to form a perfectly sickening storm in which we, normal, decent, ordinary, yearning to live our own lives in peace, are trapped. Kate on the front range noting, speaking in church, Bob, I truly appreciate your outrage, but be patient. Their fear of us is eating them from the inside out. We who don't make history, nor noise in church, are circling the bodies. They will get theirs. We are quietly busy. Y'all can't find us in churches, but we're out here, circling. And it does, it terrifies them. All of these things come not from righteousness, but from fear. Gut-bending hate. Enveloping fear. Kim noting, not that I'm sheltering any man for degrading any woman, but Bob, I've worked with many a great Democratic voting man who were women haters, who did give me some very disgusting names because I worked among them with some authority. Where I got my power in these situations was when I ran across the men and their wives, girlfriends at stores and so forth. These men would turn white and often try to run from me. My goodness, did I love to talk then and see how uncomfortable I could make them, edging along the lines of things said and done at work. So I agree, most of the men with these thoughts are more than likely repiglicans, but in my book they're all pigs. Just a thought for some of the younger women listening. Oh, and no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Especially in a workplace, Kim won't mind me saying it, Kim worked as an auto manufacturer. Good UAW member. And in those kinds of situations, that fear, again, that Kate mentioned, comes to the fore. Fear, 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 fear. And I've just about come to the conclusion that fear is at the very, it's in the essence of the male of the species. Because at the end of the day, if you actually understand anything about the nature of reproduction, you realize that me, you, guys, Og, Gronk, we have fairly limited purpose, biologically speaking. And the only other, and the only way that some members of my half of the species have of defining any other existential purpose in life is if they get to control the people they fear. I would suggest that a man finds his greatest purpose when he rises above his biological non-necessity. You know, within biology, you know, one good, and we're done. But it is when we seek to be a mammal of a higher order, and we take a role in making a better world, that we approach something resembling destiny. Right? Because otherwise, we're useless. If we can't it or kill it, a lot of purpose. Unless we're willing to do the hard work of trying to make our time on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe worthwhile. And one more story before the filibobster closes. One more story, because it comes from right here in my neck of the woods. One more story, because when you pick up the newspaper and you see a photograph of a guy that you've seen 100 times if you've seen him once, in the context of the story you're reading, it becomes a little unnerving. One more story, because there's always one more story of people dying in this country so that firearm fetishists can go on pretending that they're protecting the liberty of America under the Second Amendment. The Associated Press story carried in the Charleston Gazette says Fayette County authorities are looking to pin down what prompted an 83-year-old man to allegedly shoot his wife and 2 in-laws to death. The individual is charged in the deaths of his 47-year-old wife, her sister, and both women's father. The 82-year-old man and his daughter, 57, had stopped to visit the 83-year-old man and his 47-year-old wife this past Friday. They know, although they have no motive, the authorities know that there were, because they tested, see, unlike in Trayvon Martin's case, the shooter was tested. There were no drugs and alcohol factoring into the killing. but an 83-year-old man picked up a 38 caliber pistol that he kept in his home. Dear God. And blew away his 82-year-old father-in-law, his 47-year-old wife, and her 57-year-old sister. Their mobile home is on a steep road along a normally quiet holler where many senior citizens live. That according to a witness whose home's further up the hill. He's lived in the area 3 years, and he says he's never noticed anything unusual at their home. I'd see him come by and wave and stuff like that. There wasn't any problems. They stayed to themselves. You didn't hear much from them. In other words, in 21st century rural West Virginia, that's pretty much the way we like it. They'd lived there for about 7 years. The old man didn't have any other arrests. They came north from Polk County, Florida. The 83-year-old man. Is in the Southern Regional Jail. Now imagine that for a moment. No gun in home? One witness did say, hey, he seemed like he was getting a little senile. But not so senile that he couldn't operate the entirely simple mechanism of a 38 caliber death machine. He pumped rounds into his father-in-law. And even after that happened, still was able to turn around and pump rounds into his wife and then into his sister-in-law. He married the woman when she was 13. Two victims were on their way, I think, to Richmond, just for a visit. How much better if they just stopped at the Super 8. But that's okay. Because here in America, I say it again, we're all right with these stories. Oh, we look at them and we tut-tut over them and we cluck a little bit. But then somebody says, but wait a minute. That's no reason to get rid of handguns. Handguns are going to protect our freedom when the government comes. I have no patience left for any Second Amendment advocates. None. I have a firearm here. I have a few. But I do not maintain that weird paranoid delusion that somehow I'm a guardian of liberty. The only reason I've got the damn thing here, and as David in Tennessee noted, it's probably a bit of faulty reasoning. The only reason I've got the damn thing here is A, if some meth, crack, whatever addicted jackass tries to come through the door, or B, in case in my own weird little To Kill a Mockingbird fantasy, some rabid dog starts walking up and I have to drop my glasses and accidentally step on them like Gregory Peck done did in the movie, and being an old crack shot, take down old Fido because he had the hydrophobia. But protecting American freedom? No. That is total crap. This is not 1787. There are not Indians on the frontier. And the redcoats ain't a-coming. And hint, for those who like to, masturbate while watching Red Dawn or some such, Wolverines! The commies ain't coming up from Nicaragua nor Cuba, and if they come from China, you're screwed anyway. You know, she probably brought him his cream of wheat every morning. And if he is getting a little cerebrally loosey-goosey, he's sitting there in the jail wondering what the hell happened. No gun in the house, and maybe he rants and raves for a little while, and maybe they call the kids and say, you know, Pops has gone around the bend, it may be time to take him to the doctor and see if we can get him on some of that medicine. If, of course, he has any. Yeah, he's got Medicare. Take him to the doctor. See about those homicidal urges. If there's no gun in the house, I ought to blow you away. But instead, there's a gun in the house, so he does. And that's just another day here in West Virginia where literally proud grandparents gift newborn babies with 410 shotguns for later. I ain't making that up. And thus, at 20 minutes past the hour, we come to the end of this evening's prayer meeting filibobster. Unlike any other church, this is that, you know, it's okay to have discussions in the congregation. That's what the phone number's for. Toll free, it's 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, HEADON, letter O, not numeral 0. HEADON. If you want to save us the cost of the toll-free call, then just dial up 304-658-3333. It works either way. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. We do need your continuing support. That's how we continue all of this. And that's the relevant email address for PayPal contributions as well. Click personal and click gift, and bang, there you are. No transfer fees. So light them up. It's much easier if you do that before 15 minutes before show's end. Light them up, and let's get the conversation radio going. This is, after all, conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's been 15 years. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Something sweet for the troops. Choose from a selection of Bubble Genius bath and body products, and we'll send them to soldiers overseas on your behalf. The holidays are coming up. Buy a soldier a shower.
BubbleGenius.com.
1:30, halfway through the program here on this prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. Quick emails and then off to the phones. Light them up. Like I said, a couple of lines yet open. Area code 304-658-3333 or toll free 877-443-2366. Kim noting, men are the best. All a good man has to do is love and protect. Not protect us from being a human being, but protect us from the harm of others. That's love. Men have far more good to them than a whack, I killed it mode. Don't man bash. I'm not man bashing, Kim. I'm just pointing out that we males of the species have a rather significantly limited biological evolutionary purpose, and it is when men rise above that brute biology that we actually manifest what can be special about us. See? By the way, Michael noting with the reference to the song I played a little bit ago, Jason Isbell and the 400 unit from the album Here We Rest. If it's not in your collection, it should be. Go buy it. It's been out for a while, and it's amazing. That song, Stopping By, Michael says, there are certain Jason Isbell songs that just give me the chills, and that's one of them. Me too. Me too. Let's, and Jude also noting there are hate-filled women, too. And there are. There absolutely are. Most of them vote Republican. She says, one of our members in Washington State stands in a small town alone next to an old cannon. With white flowers in her hand, she stands there quietly for the intention of peace.
What has been occurring is not the response by men, but from women. A horn will honk, she looks in the direction of the sound, and in a truck, usually a woman extends her middle finger in the direction of our sister. The sight of a gentle one standing alone brings out the hate in another one's soul. Yeah, I'm not going for the broad sweeping generalities, but the undercurrent of misogyny, pure distaste, disgust, disdain, and hatred for women that runs as an undercurrent throughout the Republican and the fundamentalist so-called Christian right cannot be ignored. It cannot be ignored. Michael also noting with regard to Saturday Night Special, how's that song supposed to be pro-gun again? Poor cons. Got nothing. Teddy Nugent's all they got. Post-Crash Skinner don't count as anything, and ain't that the truth? No, that song was a clear criticism of the gun culture. But just as a bunch of ignorant, racist, prejudiced, bigoted bubbas think that Sweet Home Alabama is about being proud to be from the South, it's not. No. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, and next. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Albert.
Don't you love subtext? I love it. I love it.
By the boatload. We've got it in abundance. Pressed down, shaken together.
And that's the thing. They can't even see it because, you know, these people can't even see real history. You know, because now George Bush and Paulson saved us from the Depression.
I'm just going to bring the blender in here and just, I don't know, it'll get noisy every now and then, but just get me one of them Walmart Jimmy Buffett margarita machines for just such moments as George Bush and Secretary Paulson saved the economy.
The price of Brando went down and all the jobs are gone. The computer started laying us off. You did this. Yeah, okay.
Next,
and you know, of course, the misogyny. I mean, look at it. That's why they hate the homosexuals, right? And if you don't believe in Jesus, like what we just see in Texas, was that Taylor Greene guy killed that Mr. Ramirez, an Army specialist?
Right, because he didn't believe in God,
in the Lord. What do you say? What can you say to that?
Well, you start with what the predictable response of the right wing is on a story like that. Well, that man was crazy. He clearly didn't understand his religion, or he wouldn't have done that. Well, is that the liberals and the atheists and the agnostics and the free thinkers and the other Christians who don't buy into that bloodthirsty version of Christianity that y'all preach? Is that our fault? Or maybe you're not doing a good enough job getting through.
Yeah.
Because once again, it's a manifestation of the fact that they cannot, will not, take personal responsibility. The story, of course, that you're referring to is the story out of Clay County, Texas, that the law enforcement officials there announced that the remains of specialist Jose Ramirez, a native of El Centro, California, who went missing from Fort Sill, Oklahoma, more than 7 years ago, his remains had been found. Justin Green was charged with the murder in February, and it stemmed from the fact, apparently, that Mr. Ramirez didn't believe in God. Now, lucky for Mr. Green, he's nice and white, so, he's got a dice roll in front of him if he's convicted. He might get the horizontal crucifixion, but he's got a better chance than a dark-skinned guy of not. Especially once it becomes understood that Mr. Ramirez was one of them filthy atheists.
you know, I'm sure the military would like to have a say in it as well.
Well, killing a soldier, does that make it a federal crime? Let's not make a federal crime out of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't even get a suntan down there, they tell you. Don't get a sunburn. Damaging that government property.
That's true.
So, you know, so that's... yeah.
That goes back a ways, too. Right after he went aboard ship, my father got a little bit of a break out somewhere in the South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent a little too much time topside with his shirt off, got burned up, you know, pale West Virginia boy that he was, and found himself before the captain's mast over it, informed that he had just damaged government property.
Yeah, the rule, yeah, they have rules. They have, that's why the rule books are so thick. They cover everything, you know, and so I hope they get their hand in it. You know, I'll tell you what, You know, you don't want to go to no federal prison like that. You know, you don't want to go to a federal military prison. And I don't know if they have jurisdiction. I'm not sure how that goes, but I would imagine, you know, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, the incident is terrible, you know. And I don't want, I don't know. What do you want to do with this guy? What kind of thing is that? He kills him because he doesn't believe in God. And then he uses his credit card to buy freaking pizza. Or his family.
Right? Yeah, the victim's credit card.
Yeah, and they practice signing his name.
You just killed an American soldier because you think he's not, because he don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Ordering a pizza from Papa John's after learning to forge his signature, priceless.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, and of course we all know who, you know, he's not too stupid. I mean, he voted for Bush, and Bush saved us from depression, right? So,
well, there you go.
I was also reading an interesting article a little earlier on Alternet. It's about the conservative bullying, you know, is sort of like, and she kind of equates it in the beginning to, marriage counseling. You know, she sits there and equates it to marriage counseling and saying, you know, I know after the first session whether or not that, yeah, I'm going to be helping this couple resolve their issues or be leading them towards a amicable divorce.
Right.
You know? So the thing is, however, you know, we look at this big country and it is, you know, to put it in this context, you know, we're a big family here in America. And, you know, what do we want from each other? Do we want, you know, darkness all over the land because nobody knows what anyone else is, you know, up to and doing and not talking to each other? Or do we want light?
Yeah.
You know, we can't get a divorce. We can't.
And I mean, you know, the story out of West Virginia, Albert, is particularly horrifying because they're not all that, I mean, granted, they don't usually involve octogenarians.
Mm.
But these are isolated rural communities, and if there's a Ten Commandments for the Scots-Irish, Commandment 1 is mind your own business.
Mm.
And so you get comments from the guy who lived up there, oh, well, he seemed pretty normal. He never made any noise or nothing, mostly kept to themselves. You know, you win civic awards in Appalachia for minding your own business and not making a lot of noise and keeping to yourself. Generally, if you're out there hollering in the yard, you know, you're on a video at Netflix and people are going apeshit over the whites from West Virginia. But, of course, you know, there's a gun in the home. And
mm-hmm. And that, of course, there's a gun in the home.
And at 83, we don't know if the whole story will ever be told.
No.
You know, he's got to enter a not guilty plea. Unless some forgiving judge is willing to say, you know, listen, come on, off to the home. But you can't just send him to the home because he's an alleged murderer now.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man, it's always something, isn't it? And we, you know, I don't know. You know, you can't even have that argument. You can't even have any kind of argument over gun control. You can't have any kind of discussion over it, of anything.
No, but I'm starting my own little personal crusade because I really am up to my gullet with this bug spray laden feces cart full of I'm protecting American freedom. Next time I hear that, my response is just going to be, oh, shut the up.
Yeah.
Protecting America. Come on, Gomer. Hooty hoot, Sergeant Carter. I'm protecting American freedom.
Yeah. And guaranteed, one out of three people saying that they, oh, I'm protecting American freedom is somehow in some sort of connection in relation to, like, the Turner Diaries.
Oh, no, I know people who are perfectly rational who advance that argument.
Really?
Sure.
I said one out of three.
Okay, yeah, okay, so I know two-thirds of those people.
Yeah.
And,
well, I do, too.
And they, no. But the rational people, if you sit down and say, really? Really, if the government becomes a tyranny, you've got the idea that they're just going to send Barney Fife to the door to ask you for your gun? We're learning lessons here. If it ever gets to that day, they're going to show up with bulldozers and go all occupied territories on your house.
Heck, Brother Bob, they don't have to show up at all. All they need to do is, all right, boys, let's go to whatever mountain, you know, that they have hollowed out with, you know, a couple years' supply of food. All right, we're going to fight this here tyrannical government, blah, 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 blah. a year later, they come out, boom. You know, it's all nice and clean. Yeah, that's what it will be. Wouldn't you? I mean, let's talk Machiavellian. I mean, wouldn't you? Why would you? Why would you bother?
Well, they're going to round us up and send us to those Obama FEMA re-education death camp panels.
For what? Why bother?
You can't... No, Homer, you can't be re-educated. You're past help.
Yeah. You know, and if that...
But as a result, you've got a whole bunch... You know, I was informed by, I think it was Kate last night when the discussion came up, Albert, about the skinhead, the Aryan Nations guy, running for sheriff up there in northern Idaho.
Bonner County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you probably know it, don't you?
Brother Bob, that's where my mom lives.
No shit.
Up north, Coeur d'Alene. Oh, man. When I got out of the service, I spent some time up there, you know, getting my bearings.
And you know, Kate said, she said, there's all kinds of racist retired cops up there.
Ruby Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ruby Ridge. And then you got...
And they're waiting for the government to come for their freedom.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
of course, they don't give a damn about that freedom of speech or anything like that. That's not to turn this into some sort of a dadgum civics lesson or anything. That's where the freedom lies. You know, these jackasses want to talk about freedom, and they want to talk about freedom of conscience. And the only way they can manifest any little teeny tiny spark in their amygdala-brained lizard brains about what it means to have freedom of conscience is to keep some woman from being able to take birth control pills that stop her ovarian cysts from tormenting her? I mean, really, really.
I know.
Maybe, you'd be surprised. The email quotient of Bob, you need a vacation emails are rising. And they probably do because my tolerance and my patience is just freaking gone, Albert. And I'm not, I don't know, something ugly. I got Agnes there going, Bob. Yeah, and that's usually enough to stop me.
Yeah.
But, to hear that, what about your conscience, Albert? What about my conscience? What about the Horn family's conscience that it might not be a good idea to start slaughtering Iranian flower sellers on the corner of some street in Tehran?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that's just, you're a bunch of damn communist liberal peacenik pansies.
Yeah, no, that ain't conscience. That's just because you're a bunch of lily-livered effing cowards. That's what it is. I'm going to get my .38 pistol and strap it to my side, and I'm going to march right all the way over to the Iran, and I'm going to shoot that Ayatollah personally, just like Patton done Hitler.
I seen that movie. Yeah. It really is.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, you're right.
No, that guy lives 15 miles from you too, Albert.
Oh, I know, Brother Bob. I don't doubt about it. They're everywhere. And you just, you know, sometimes, hey, you can't save
just
everybody.
Just had to come to the Wally World to pick up a little PB&J and a loaf of Wonder Bread or two. I hear it's a long walk to Tehran, but I'm out. I'm on my way. Got me some extra boat-tailed hollow point rounds from a .30-06, and we're going to take down the Iranian threat before they can destroy Holy Jerusalem. Oh!
I think they're a minority, though, Brother Bob. They're a loud minority, but they're a minority. You know, I mean, heck. We all know we're not going to have another war. I mean, a war, another one? You know, missiles may fly, a couple this and that. But as we said already, you know, Iran, as long as Iran is being legit, can I trust that? Well, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I hold the dichotomy in my mind. I can see why they want it, and I can see why they would rather not have it, you know. And, you know, I mean, if you're talking about...
Albert, if we're on a risk board...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm over there where Iran is.
Yeah.
And the guy with the purple pieces who's in the Pakistan place, and the guy with the green pieces who's in the India place, and the guy with the red pieces who's in the Saudi Arabia place, and the guy who with the blue pieces who's in the Israel place, and I'm the guy with the black pieces, and I'm in the Iran place, and all them other folks with all them other colors has got them some nuclear weapons. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I want one.
I understand that.
I want one.
I understand that.
I want two or three.
Yeah, but you did sign that NNPT, and then this gives you the legal right for this. And so if that's how they're going to play, maybe you'll just get up and get some iced tea. You know, I mean, we're going to fall for it twice in 10 years? In a decade,
but see, what I'm scared about is if... God forbid, dog forbid, flying spaghetti monster forbid, Whitzelo Pochtli, Zoroaster, every deity ever conceived in the alcohol and drug sodden mind of humanity, forbid that, for instance, missiles do fly on Barack Obama's watch. You know what the next line is from the testosterone poisoned lizard brain crowd, right? Well, it's just like Bill Clinton all over again.
Yeah.
He's just sending some multi-million-dollar Tomahawk cruise missiles into some mud huts. We ain't gonna take care of this till we get some boots on the ground, you hear me? And that's gonna take a real American president with some real American steel like Rick Santorum or Willard Romney.
I certainly hope it's not some sort of October surprise. That would be a filthy, disgusting thing to
Yeah, but from either side, for either side to do.
No, true. No, yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to support him, you know. I'm not going to support, I'm tired of the back, you know, his back mounts or whatever he does. He just does this crazy pretzel twist every time, you know, and I hope he's kind of getting done with it. I hope he's, you know, I've read a lot of articles saying how, you know, optimistic he was in terms of bipartisanship and you know, some of these insider articles that kind of do help, you know, even under Bush, it helped paint a better picture. You know, and I don't think we've quite seen that same level of, you know, they talk about President Obama not being ready for the White House. I mean, goodness gracious, George Bush was ready. That guy was ready. What was it? 10 minutes after 9/11 was going on? He was trying to get us into he wasn't even, 9/11 wasn't even in. It was, what, November, February, when he was talking about getting, let's find a way to hook us up with Saddam?
Yeah. F Saddam, we're taking him out.
Yeah, we're getting him. Yeah, wink. You know, and, you know, we don't hear that kind of talk from President, not sure. I think he's in the correct stance with what he's doing by, you know, there is no evidence whatsoever. And there's no evidence that Iran is building a bomb other than an Israeli source that says they're building a bomb.
Yeah. What's the source's code name? Curveball, maybe? That's a really... wait a minute. Let me get this open. That's a really big bomb. It's big. I tell you, it's big.
Let's get another magnum of champagne. No. I mean, I don't think we're going to see... I really don't. I don't think we're going to see that. I'd like to not think that we're going to see that. I can comprehend it, but you know, I don't think we're going to see it. Iran isn't in any position to really, you know, attack us. Guys, we have rail guns on our ships. Rail guns. The test models of them are declassified already, so you know what that means.
I don't necessarily know what a rail gun is.
Oh, you don't know what a rail gun is? A rail gun is like a Gauss cannon. It basically uses electromagnetic force to take an aluminum projectile and, you know, push it up to about 7,000 miles an hour.
Ah.
Yeah, so basically it's a kinetic impact it shoots missiles out of the sky. It shoots ships over the horizon 700 miles away. It's almost like a shield. You know, like you've seen the SeaWiz system, which is those little R2-D2 looking pods that are on ships, and they have them big, you know, machine guns that...
Right.
Wah, 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 those shoot down planes and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's 30 years old.
Yeah, that's the Aegis stuff, right?
No, the Aegis is a whole different... It's just an anti-missile system.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the SeaWiz is a whole... It's just a machine gun, and that thing's crazy. You can't get anywhere near an aircraft carrier with something like that on it. And now we have, you know, cruisers rolling around with rail guns on... I mean... And you look at the Iranian super boat planes that they have. It looks like the guy's got the 70s helmet on, you know, because there's no window in the cockpit. And you go, oh, yeah, they're going to do something. They're not going to do anything. And you know, hopefully Israel doesn't do anything. The same reason that the military didn't really do anything in regards to, you know, the Egyptian uprising over there, where they kind of protected the populace. And I think part of the reason they did that was, you know, military support from the United States. And Israel gets double what Egypt gets. And I'd like to think that as far as the crazy amount of just... and I understand they're trying to protect themselves, too. I understand all that. But, you know, they need to just settle down. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's looking. He's not trying to take your girl. Sit down. Just relax. Have a good evening. That's what you want to say to these kind of countries when you think about them as families, right? I mean, if we're all in this big restaurant of Earth, you know, there's some people out there that maybe need to, you know, take a time out or something. Maybe they need to go talk with management. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, no, but we're back to where we were last night. Somebody needs to get a hobby.
Somebody needs a hobby. No doubt about it. Somebody needs a hobby where, you know, go play the game or something.
Where
you
stuff know, doesn't get shot.
Nobody gets killed, and, you know, yeah.
Parcheesi, Pinochle, Bridge.
Yeah. I mean, and if you really think that Mitt Romney's going to win the game, say that
Jesus,
Henry Paulson, that's where they are.
Explain me something real quick, Albert.
I don't know if I can.
How does dude get a job and B, keep a job when he goes out and likens his boss's political positions to an Etch-a-Sketch?
That's another one. What is that? We can reset him like an Etch-a-Sketch?
I mean, yeah.
Of course you can. The Etch-a-Sketch reset features are available in the Romneybot. You know, Romneybot has multi levels of AI. He's an advanced model. You know, it's not the same. It's actually not the same model. If you look, there have been some changes, you know, from the last time he ran. You know, he's had a firmware upgrade. You know, Romneybot's here.
That's some bot, that Romneybot. Does he come with rail guns? I mean,
Romneybot doesn't, no. But if you let Romneybot get in charge of the Navy, he's got some rail guns. You know, it's...
I mean, how pathetic is Willard when he's out there and Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, who is so far done that the folks who order well done wouldn't touch him. And he's out there cracking wise about Romney. Did you catch that? He handed a little girl in the audience an Etch-a-Sketch today and told her she was now qualified to be President of the United States.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's great.
but it does... See, I never say never, and these people terrify me, and I'm just beside myself at the notion, however remote some people may think it, of spending 4 years talking about President Willard. You know, I remember, you know, 8 years of listening to Malloy make reference to President Raisin Brain, and it was funny. It was funny every time he said it, and Dim Sum, and Bush the Dumber, and everything we had for him, but behind that was the tragedy that the little bastard was in office.
Yes.
And I'm fresh out of my... See, that's the other thing that's gone, too. Tolerance, my tragedy tolerance. It's shot.
Yeah. Well, Brother Bob, you know, fear is the mind killer. We all know this, but...
Yes.
Fear's in the mind, but we have to... So we shouldn't really react to fear. What we should react to is danger. You know, danger is different. Danger is something that we can control how we react to it. You know, so if we're going to sit here and control how we react to danger, and what's a danger? Well, Rick Santorum ain't going to be, so we're dealing with Romney. Romney bot is dangerous in the White House. That's a dangerous thing. This guy is so dumb, Romney bot is so stupid that he believes everything, every right-wing fantasy, and, you know...
You are in violation of Maroney 1227. See, if we were doing video, you would have seen me doing my Robbie the Robot arm thing. Warning.
Norquest compound violated, must not violate. Romney bot, Reagan, you know, Bush saved us. That's how delusional they are. Obama invaded Iraq, Obama invaded Afghanistan, Obama gave us $15 trillion in deficit, right, and put us in depression, and Bush saved the day.
Meanwhile, the real live honest-to-Jesus graphs are out there that show that he's expanded the size of the federal government less than, like, you know, Bush or Reagan, either one, let alone both of them combined.
Bush raised spending 88%, Obama 7.2%. And we all know 7.2 is way... That's way bigger percents than 88%. 7.2%. That's big percents.
Damn you.
Right?
Where's the paper towels? I've got to clean up the monitor. That's way bigger percents.
That's lots of percents.
Got gazettas all over the place.
Oh, Frito. That's what I mean. And it's just, you know, that's where they're at. I think they're allowed. I think there's too many of them, but I don't think there's enough of them. There's especially not enough of them if the responsible ones throughout history and humanity's history, you know, the people that, you know, do care about each other, to sit there and say, all right, okay, I hate it, but I'm going to do it. I'm either going to close my eyes, make sure I put the mark, you know, hold my nose. You're going to vote. We need people to vote for President Obama, period. If Bush got 2 terms, Obama's getting 2 terms. That's how I'm looking at it. And, you know, we can figure out who 2016 we're going to be. It would be nice to get into a primary again, and maybe we can reestablish some values, and maybe we can start criticizing President, you know, not sure in that, you know, primary future. But right now, it's 2012, and we need another 4 years. We need it. There's no way we can go to...
Because, to remind people, I Want a Pony is not on the ballot.
Yes. I Want a Pony is not applicable. We cannot have that. You know, and, you know, it just... I just, you know, and it sometimes, you know, I think, you know, the thing that kills us on this side of, you know, people that do critical thinking and all these other things, is sometimes our apathy gets a hold of us, you know. And somebody like Mitt Romney is a danger. That guy's a danger. We don't need another quote-unquote businessman in the White House. Can you imagine two Bush? I mean, you know how we talk about, you know, Reagan, you know, it really all started back then. You know, and probably a little bit beforehand, but you know, we were all right, kind of, for in many ways. A lot of what we used to have is now eroded, and it's all started with Reagan. You know, we got Reagan, and then what was he? 4 years. So we really got 8 years of Bush, because Reagan kind of went a little loopy there in the second term. So we got 8 years of Bush, followed by 8 years of Clinton, followed by another 8 years of Bush. And are we going to make it 12 years of Bush? Or, you know, because Bush-Romney, how much different is it going to be? I mean, are you crazy? That guy? No. Can't happen. You know, so tell your friends, call your wife, call your kids, make them vote. That's all I can say about that. We can't have somebody that delusional. I mean, that's delusional. I mean, that's
yes.
Textbook delusion. I mean, what? And I know he's saying whatever he has to say, but... And I know, we all know politicians lie, but really? Seriously? Seriously? You know, and I mean, I can listen to Joe Bo Schlo over here talk about it on the forum, or in this place, or in that place, and I can smash him down like a bug there, you know, and I can use evidence, but now he's saying that? That's how desperate they are. That's how down at the barrel they're at, that they're just pulling out things that jerkwads say on friggin', you know, Liberty Forums or Free Republic or any of these other free... Can you imagine? When's the last time you visited that place?
Oh, I can't. I did you see the naked video of the Coney 2012 guy going all Earl of Greystoke?
What was that?
Well, but you know, no. I mean, he was. I mean, that was straight out of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. You know, with him naked out there in San Diego sunshine, going up and down, hitting his palms on the ground. And, you know, and the first thing that came to me was, you know, half of me is the Earl of Greystoke, the other half is wild. Well, see, that's what happens to me when I go to a place like Free Republic, okay? I just rip the clothes off and start banging on the keyboard with my palms. All ability, just the upper human, it all just shuts down, nothing but lizard brain legends. Beat keyboard. Can't do it.
Yeah. That place is a lobotomy, isn't it?
Well, or Fox News, for that matter. You know, this little green footballs thing will not go away. You know, good shot, Zimmy.
That's still, you know.
But there's breaking news. Spike just, there's breaking news. The Sanford City Commission, the Commission of the City of Sanford, Florida, has voted by a margin of 3-2 that it has no confidence in Police Chief Bill Lee. Unfortunately, they can't fire him because he reports to City Manager Norton Bonaparte, Jr. That's inspiring. But the police say that police were the man who fatally shot Miami Gardens teen Martin was not arrested the night of the incident because his self-defense claim, quote, was supported by physical evidence and testimony, according to Police Chief Bill Lee. Police were thus prohibited from arresting Zimmerman, 28, quote, based on the facts and circumstances they had at the time. Lee said as he answered 6 questions about the case in a statement that was posted on the city's website. 6 questions? Really?
What?
6?
What? What? That's a... You know... Yeah. No. That doesn't stand. That's not going to stand. No. You know. And what, we got the Justice Department and the FBI looking at it right now?
Well, yeah, and, you know, some community leaders went to the governor's office in Florida today and begged the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, you know, the otherwise known as the unindicted co-conspirator.
Yeah.
And they begged him because he has the summary power to revoke... Zimmerman's concealed carry permit, because remember, the guy is still out there with a concealed weapon. And Rick Scott's office said, oh, can't do that. Can't do that. Ain't got no reason to. One of the six questions, Albert, you're going to love this. No, you're not. You're going to run screaming into the night. If Zimmerman was told not to continue to follow Trayvon, can that be considered in this investigation? Yes, it will. However, the telecommunications call taker asked Zimmerman, are you following him? Zimmerman replied, yes. The call taker stated, you don't need to do that. The call taker's suggestion is not a lawful order that Mr. Zimmerman would be required to follow. Zimmerman's statement was that he had lost sight of Trayvon and was returning to his truck to meet the police officer when he says he was attacked by Trayvon.
Right.
Why was George Zimmerman labeled as squeaky clean when in fact he has a prior arrest history? In one of the initial meetings with the father of the victim, the investigator related to him the account that Mr. Zimmerman provided of the incident. At that time, the investigator said that Mr. Zimmerman portrayed himself to be squeaky clean. We are aware of the background information regarding both individuals involved in this event. Background? What? Background information regarding both individuals involved in this event? We believe Mr. Martin may have misconstrued this information. Background information regarding both individuals, Albert? What? Okay, the background on George Zimmerman is that he had a bust for assaulting a cop. The background information on Trayvon Martin was that he was periodically tardy at school. So he deserved to die?
Tardy? How dare him? Tardy. Yeah. Well, can't have that lackadaisical attitude in this country, can we?
Yeah, you know, that those tardiness problems just, well, you know, they often lead to masturbation.
Yeah. We need somebody like Ollie North for president.
Let's just go, I mean, no, let's just have done with it and run Wayne LaPierre on the Republican ticket and let him just line up.
Yeah.
I believe a gut-shot chicken in every pot.
Yep. LaPierre and Duke for president.
Right. Why was George Zimmerman not arrested the night of the shooting? When the Sanford Police Department arrived at the scene of the incident, Mr. Zimmerman provided a statement claiming he acted in self-defense, which at the time was supported by physical evidence and testimony. Whose? Zimmerman's.
Who's?
Self-serving. Yeah, that's like the dude who comes out of the alley carrying the TV, and the cop says, where'd you get the TV? Guy gave it to me in the alley. Oh, okay, go on. By Florida statute, law enforcement was prohibited from making an arrest based on the facts and circumstances they had at the time. Additionally, when any police officer makes an arrest for any reason, the officer must swear and affirm that he, she is making the arrest in good faith and with probable cause. If the arrest is done maliciously and in bad faith, the city officer and the city may be held liable. In other words, they were afraid George Zimmerman would sue them after having murdered Trayvon Martin. We all square now?
You know, let's say one day my life puts me in a position that I feel that I need to have a concealed carry permit. You know, I'm taking money to the bank, or, you know, something like that. You know, over $10,000 in cash. And let's say I get into a situation and I actually discharge my weapon, and I take someone else's life. I would, at the very least, be expected to be arrested, taken down, and questioned. I would think that would be the minimal.
Well, okay, so he quotes, so get this, he quotes, this is Mr. Bonaparte, not Mr. The police chief.
Okay.
Immunity from criminal, according to Florida statute 776.032, immunity from criminal prosecution and civil action for justifiable use of force. One, a person who uses force as permitted in section 776.012, 013, or 031, is justified in using such force and is immune from criminal prosecution and civil action for the use of such force, unless the person against whom the force was used is a law enforcement officer as defined in section 943.10(14), who was acting in the performance of his or her official duties and the officer identified himself or herself in accord. Good God, you can even blast at the, blow away the cops if the cop doesn't act in the performance of his or her official duties and the officer doesn't identify himself or herself in accordance with any applicable law. or the person using force knew or reasonably should have known that the person was a law enforcement officer.
Wow.
That's how bizarre it is in Florida. This is the law that the National Rifle Association spent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars getting passed in the state of Florida so a little 16-year-old boy could get blown away and his Sunday couldn't become Monday. God, I love the NRA.
They are disgusting. They are disgusting. I mean, that's no more police, you know. I mean, he hasn't been arrested, has he? Did they do any? They didn't take him down.
No.
What did they do? Because that picture we see of him.
They questioned him and sent him on his way.
Yeah, like there was a domestic disturbance at the house, or somebody, his neighbor called the police on him for letting his dog, or something, minor that you would expect a cop to, like, oh yeah, oh no, no, no. Oh, that's okay, sir. Have a good night. That's what it's like. It's like, oh yeah. Oh, you said that little Negro boy attacked you? That's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll clean this up. You have yourself a good night. That's what it feels like. It's all right, okay.
Yeah, what we need is a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's all we need there, George. Go get a shower.
Yeah.
And you said, feed me, Mandrake, and I fed you.
Yeah. Everyone slaps in a bag of chicken tenders. Slathers in barbecue sauce, watches his favorite TV program. Actually, probably rubbed a few out. I mean, did he have a camera around his neck? Mr. Captain of the Watch?
Colonel. General. Field Marshal.
Field Marshal of the Neighborhood Watch. Perfect. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, brother. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this?
Well, I keep saying drink, but then my higher mind says no.
It's lit a fire, though. It's really lit a fire here. You know, enough's enough. Enough's enough. This is nonsense. We can't have laws like that. What is that? I mean, I understand, I think a right to defend yourself, sure.
Well, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
Self-defense has been enshrined in the law since before there was a United States of America.
Yeah.
It is an affirmative defense to say, I was being attacked and I defended myself. It's old. That affirmative defense at common law is so old it farts dust. This was not necessary. This was an overt act of codification of cold-blooded murder. Because, see, self-defense is the kind of thing where you actually have to prove that you were defending yourself. I know that's, you're not supposed to use the same word you're defining in defining the thing you're defining, but it's kind of hard to get around.
Step into my house and I'll shoot you.
But, I remember sitting in, 12th grade government class when the teacher said, what self-defense means, boys and girls, is if somebody comes into your house, shoot them. And if they crawl away, drag them back inside the house and shoot them some more.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way you explain things to little redneck children in Alabama.
Uh-huh. But you can't shoot them if they're not in your house.
Right, and you can't shoot them if they're stealing your car or your horse. You know, we shoot horse thieves, does not apply.
Mm-hmm. And if someone curses at you, you can't...
You can't shoot them either.
Yeah, you can't... that's the thing. Even, the police code, the penal code of New York, which I had a couple of years of study in when I was living there, even a police officer couldn't respond with deadly force if... He couldn't just elevate the force. You know what I mean? If somebody's yelling at him, he can't take their gun out and shoot them. If somebody is, brandishing, some sort of, they have other means and they have levels of,
Right. That's why the charge is unnecessary use of force.
Exactly.
But what these stand your ground laws in Florida and other places, congratulations, Wisconsin's one of them.
Yeah.
What they do is they codify the idea that one need not ever tolerate being unhappy ever again. And we all know that firearms are the keys to happiness in America. If someone makes you unhappy in Florida, effing shoot them. That's what this law says. Did they scare you? Shoot them. Were they running away? Well, if you were still scared, shoot them in the back. Gomez?
Yeah. Yeah, is that a way to be? No, we all know.
No, that's no way to live in a society that refers to itself as even remotely civilized. You know, no. I've spent a lot of time, Albert, thinking about your dad in the last 24 hours. I've what admiration I have for that man. I'm gonna live my life. If they ask me for my money, I'm gonna give them my money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to do something, you know, but. It's 21st century America. I almost sound like Captain Kirk there for a minute. It's 21st century America. Your dad leaves his door unlocked because at least that way, you know, on the other side of the right wing gun extremism thing. Well, you know, the forces of the Obama re-education freedom FEMA camp squad doesn't have to ruin a perfectly good door. They can just open it and come in. They can say, police, and you say, come on in, and they don't have to shoot. They don't have to get out the big-ass steel concrete-filled battering ram and splinter your door into a million tiny pieces to come in and take you down while you're sitting there watching the Leno with your box of fiddle-faddle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad said, yeah, take whatever you want, just don't hurt me. That's how it is, you know. There's a lot of, you know, and the police, you know, we all know what they can do when they come in.
Yeah.
You know, they always smell marijuana. Next thing you know, your dog gets shot, you get arrested.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, or maybe you're a 90-year-old grandmother in Atlanta who, hearing an intruder, starts shooting and winds up with a whole bunch of bullets perforating her body. That's another one of them stories I can't let go.
No. You know, and I mean, this is almost like the mentality. You know, the mentality, you know, this guy Zimmerman was just filling his, you know, the mentality of what he thought he was. You know, and even the police, you know, I think we need to re-educate the police. You know, I mean, I remember being a little kid, knowing in my heart of hearts, you know, they used to say policemen. I used to scream. You know, and they do make you do those little just say no courses or what they dare now, whatever. And they had the police come and they talk, oh, policemen like to. Now, I was a little kid and I used to, you know, I probably told you this story, but I was a little kid and of course I was, you know, the opposite of everything. But I said it and it was just true as the truth can get. Policemen like to shoot people, I used to say. As a little kid, because they did. Yeah, I knew that. Everyone knew that. I was just making a joke because, you know, I mean, come on. You really trust the police? I don't know if I trust the police. I don't call them for any reason. I don't talk to them for any reason. If I happen to get pulled over, I'm respectful and, you know, this and that, but I don't do anything to get in trouble. So, you know, I understand, but man, I can't imagine having to deal with them constantly just because of the color of my skin. You know, sitting there, I mean, goddamn, you can't even walk through a neighborhood. Neighborhood watch, Captain. Isn't a neighborhood watch supposed to just watch?
Yeah, he's not. That's very good, Albert. That's very good. He's not the neighborhood shoot captain.
No. So was it a garrison? I mean, you know, like I remember here. I'll tell you another thing. You know, I was a little kid. I was a little delinquent kid in New York. You know, and yeah, we throw eggs and we do this and we do that, right? Well, I'll never forget the Halloween. I got to stay home when my dad said, "Hey, come here. I want to show you something." You didn't do anything at the bus stop. Remember you said that? Push play. Oh, there's Albert throwing eggs, doing this, being a goof off. Right? That's what a neighborhood watch does. I mean, he's a 17-year-old kid. What is he doing? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to take a look. You know, nobody steals car stereos anymore, do they? You know, because the freaking things don't work if you try.
Right.
So it's not even worth it. You know, they don't make, you know, because now the stereo systems that come with cars are better. So they don't even bother making, you know, but really getting the aftermarket stuff. And what else? What else would the kind of thing? Oh, throwing an egg. Oh, kicking over a sign. All right. So a kid kicks over a sign. He's being a kid. That little, you know, 17-year-old, you know how boys with testosterone, you know how stupid we are. Oh, I'm going to, that looks fun, I'm going to smash that. Let's say, and Trayvon, he didn't do any of this.
No, none of that. None.
But as neighborhood watch captain, he's a 17-year-old kid, you know, that's about the worst you're going to see. But the other thing is he's walking alone. You know, all know, and it's more about groups you got to pay attention to.
Well, yeah, but no, in paranoid Florida, he's walking alone while
black. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, and we all know what we heard. You know, they can try to play it off in the media, like, you know, oh, I don't know if it could have been punks. No, it's not punks. You know, they're trying to give, but we all know. He said coons. Effing coons, he says. And
yeah.
He's chasing, and as the guy
says, Southern classic, I might add.
Yeah, exact, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is a Southern classic.
Just like just like when I was reading the story over at Alternet about the misogyny people. And I get down to the bottom of paragraph number 3, and these feminazis. And immediately I start hearing this rewind in the back of my head of the Pretenders, My City Was Gone. Welcome back, my friends, to the hottest radio program in the world, loved by everyone except those God-bless feminazis. You know,
they don't have an original thought. Get
a brain more in, but these things spread. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the tubes, they spread virally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I much prefer it when the things that spread virally on the tubes are cute pictures of kittens and ducklings.
True.
But so does feminazi. And so does, you need some Molotov cocktails. And boom, there's a couple of Molotov cocktails burning at the door of a Planned Parenthood-supporting Democratic member of the legislature of the state of Texas whose office happens to be in Fort Worth. Boom.
Mm-hmm. They'll go and burn where they want. They'll burn, you know, people who are running for Congress. That's what happened in La Crosse, you know.
Yeah,
and over here when they were running the recall election, the first one that
they take their shooting gun and they go take out a liberal congresswoman in Tucson who isn't even liberal.
Mm-hmm. They have to. The devil. I think that Coney 2012 guy. I think somebody shot him up with some acid. That guy looked to me.
Speaking of which, did you read the excuse?
Dehydration.
He was suffering from malnutrition, exhaustion, and dehydration.
No.
See, I checked in with Nurse Agnes.
No.
Honey, you ever seen anybody suffering from malnutrition, exhaustion, and dehydration through the Earl of Greystoke thing in the Buff on the corner on a corner in San Diego? And, you know, the first thing was, oh, my. And then she said, Bob. And she said, did you see the and it's dangling. And I said, that's... And the news, the press release or news account said, he was reported running in San Diego in his underwear, and Agnes goes, not now he ain't!
Not for long. Man. Yeah.
Dehydration. Right. Exhaustion. He wasn't too exhausted to be...
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, all they have to say is he was on Ambien. But you can't have bad. That's bad press. So we'll blame water and food. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, whatever. These people are crazy. They're crazy, Brother Bob.
Well, you know, they may have recently gotten a kind contribution from Great Big Pharmaceutical Corporation of America, manufacturer of Ambien. So no, it wasn't Ambien. Booze? No. We got a contribution from the Seagram's people. Okay, booze is out. Dope. What are you kidding? What are you people on dope?
Yeah, you're gonna see it. Official member of Fine Coney 2012. Yeah, this is gonna be. buy Coke, 10% of our proceeds go to.
Yeah, we certainly regret this unfortunate incident. There's been a great deal of stress upon all of us here at Invisible Children. Really? You're all running around the streets naked, pounding your open palms on the pavement?
Devil. Yeah. That's what does that. We all know that. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. It really is. It just, you know.
I know. Starbucks.
Hey, Starbucks. We don't have time for a hand job, Bob.
I know. thank God for you, Albert. I mean, I do. I gotta have a laugh now and then in the midst of all of this crazy chaos. You know, Jim asking. By the way, Jim sent a note along the way. He said Albert is spot on. Let him know, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Jim's digging what you have to offer, and he just asked, "What, another Twinkie defense?" Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. You know. That's what I mean. You know, we got to start getting real. We really do got to. You know, we have to be real about, like, a lot of things here. And these kinds of things just can't fly at all. I mean, all of it, you know.
Well, and bear in mind, with the Trayvon Martin case, George Zimmerman has had since February 26th. February 26th to pump his body full of God knows what in case he is charged. Well, I was whacked out of my mind on stevia, trying to get the weight down. Well, that shit'll make you shoot people.
It's cold fusion.
in a mason jar. Now, there's stuff in mason jars that'll make you shoot people. But no, I mean, I say that in all seriousness.
For real?
This guy has had something on the order of a month to put chemistry into his system saying, I thought he was attacking me, but it was my shoelace. You see, I was tripping.
And that cough syrup. No, cough syrup is pharmaceutical. Can't blame that.
But,
vitamin C.
But I mean, that's you tell me, come on.
Mm-hmm.
In this time, tell me that George Zimmerman and his daddy haven't gone and lawyered up.
They better. I don't think the end of the day is going to be very good for him. Let's rush to judgment. The guy killed her. Killed that kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, witness testimony pretty much states that, you know, from, observers, his girlfriend that was on the phone, he was sitting there talking as he was walking. And apparently gets pushed from behind or something along those lines. And what I can see going down, and because this happened at a mall near where I was, apparently for some reason security guard was an off-duty cop, and some kid had shoplifted or kicked a door or something, and of course the cop, you know, uses excessive force, or the off-duty cop uses excessive force, tacks him to the ground, and is holding the gun to his head to keep him still. So I can see that this, you know, greasy bastard sat there and maybe pushed the kid from behind. The kid rolled around. What the hell? You know, and he has his gun. You freeze. It's like he tries to get up.
Oh, I mean, it's like the audio. He's got his hands in his pockets. I don't know what he's doing here. He's walking around like he's on something.
Mind your own business.
Yeah, see, that's really helpful.
You know, I mean, trust me, when a van pulls up to my neighbor's house, and I hear a boom, and I look out, and I see guys calling, you know, all these guys pulling, you know, TVs out and everything else, loading the van up, I'm going to say something. You know, I'm going to do the police call, probably, and say, hey, my neighbor's house is getting robbed. You know, because that's not my neighbor, and that's not, you know.
And you know what the 911 dispatcher will tell you?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Albert. We appreciate you reporting this. We have units on the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you can safely get a tag number, that would be great. Yeah. But please do not go outside and confront these individuals, as it may be dangerous for your own personal well-being. Meanwhile, Mr. Bonaparte in Sanford, Florida, would say that if you decided to ignore that incredibly sensible advice, that it was not an order anyway, because the 911 dispatch does not have the right, the duty, nor the ability to give you an order.
And Brother Bob, I got the hardware. I could.
I know.
But I'm not. That doesn't even cross my mind. What, are you crazy? I mean, but that's not how I think. I don't look at life like that. All right, the police, that's their job. That's what they're there for. He's a kid. He hasn't committed anything. Did you see him other than looking suspicious? Why are you even following him? They told you to stop following. You know, we don't need you to do that. Please don't do that. I think I heard. Don't do that. We don't need you to do that. You know, and, you know, of course, I haven't heard the entire thing because it makes me angry. It turns my bile into my mouth. It's just, I hate this. I can't stand this. I'm so tired of this and just tired of it. We don't need this kind of world. This kind of world is so stupid. It's just stupid. I know I'm a broken record, but my God, I'm going to say it into the universe. I'll be naked in the streets screaming it, and I won't be on no stevia. I won't be on no, you know, I'll let you know. I'll be out. It's crazy. I mean, because that's what we need. We don't need a world like this shit. This is ridiculous.
Oh, no, I'll get the call. Bob, I've been drinking water and eating food all day.
and I'm naked in the streets.
Bounding from one one geologic miracle boulder to the next in southwest Wisconsin.
Amen, Brother Bob.
Up at the top of the boulder screaming your head off. Solar panels, you idiots!
Solar panels, not firearms for everybody. You know, I mean, that's the other things we hear, right? Every time they those students had guns on them, the teacher had a gun on them, this person had a gun on them. We all know about those stories, you know. There's, you know, the NRA has a whole list of them that have ever happened in history. It's maybe about 10 or 12, maybe 20.
And like David in Tennessee noted last night, three or four of those are immigrant convenience store, bodega, whatever owners.
I'm sure most of those are. You know, either that or somebody tries to steal your car or something like that. And I don't know. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff does happen to people. And the thing is, though, it does happen. So, you know what, though, for real, if somebody came and said, hang on, yeah, you can have my car. Let me get my kids and have the gum in there, whatever. You know, I mean, there's nothing in there I can't replace other than my children. And, you know, don't shoot me. You could just let my kids out of the car, let me out of the car, go. I won't even call the police. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I won't call the police for an hour or so.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I promise.
And, you know, Darlene noting the poor child was screaming for his life, screaming for help, scared that he was going to get shot, that he was going to die. You can hear that in the screams. What was that freak Zimmerman doing or saying or both that put this child in mortal fear?
No. Yeah, no.
Well, how about, you assholes always get away.
Not
Don't move. I've got a gun.
Yeah.
And see, the phone call to the girlfriend makes it clear that the guy wasn't just following him. He had been stalking him. Stalking him. He had, okay, let's use a simpler word in case there's any little Second Amendment hero gun rights right wingers out there. He was hunting him.
Mm-hmm.
He done gone hunting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. This is a hunting case.
Amen. I agree.
He went young black man hunting.
Yep.
And succeeded.
He had his tag. He filled his quota.
And again, there's another one of those things that goes around. I've seen them. You probably have too. The joke hunting licenses.
Terrorist hunting license. Liberal hunting license.
And it started out, believe you me, as N-word hunting license. I saw it.
Really?
No shooting. There will be no shooting in the watermelon patch, as it is illegal to hunt over a baited field. The same applies for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I've seen it.
Phil.
And it's been running around for 40 years. And just about anybody who lives in the Deep South has seen it, too. Jesus, they sold them at truck stops.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, what do you do? What do you do with these people? You know, I mean, it's like I don't know about you, but I feel like a battered spouse. I feel betrayed. I feel cheated on and lied to and smacked up.
Violated, dirty.
That this is
because it's being done in my country. See, that's the thing.
Exactly.
You, Albert, me, the Horn family, liberals, progressives. We actually. I know the right wing would never believe it, Brother Albert, but we actually are patriotic, and we hate it when pigs like this Zimmerman violate not the flag, but the very core principles for which this country exists or is claimed to exist.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Albert, have a good evening.
Always, Brother Bob. Be good, brother.
Take care. Say hi to the family.
Bye. Always. Be good. Bye.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, my little therapy session for the evening. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
What's happening, Jim?
Nothing. I just enjoyed Brother Albert. Conversation about these things.
Yeah, Albert, you know, there's a reason I refer to him as the Sage of Southwest Wisconsin. He just makes so much sense, and you know, we can have a little smile along the way. And
well, you need that. He's extremely well grounded in what he says. Let me tell you, as far as weapons and things like that are concerned, you wouldn't believe the stuff that's out there in ordnance. But you know, going to this shooting in Florida. And this is the way I look at it, and maybe I'm wrong. But if Dan White can get away with shooting Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone and get, what, 6 years?
Thereabouts.
Thereabouts, yeah. He later pulled himself into the garage and gassed himself. But nonetheless, if he can get away with that based on junk food and Twinkies, now this guy is probably... God only knows what they're going to do with him.
Right, and that's the whole thing. He has had, he has had 24 days in which to concoct some cockamamie defense that all he, jury verdicts in criminal trials have to be unanimous, Jim.
Yeah, I know that.
And so all he has to do is convince one cockamamie that never should have been on a jury in the first place, and understand getting a jury for this is going to be something approaching impossible.
Well, I can just imagine how they'll impanel a jury for this. But you can be rest assured it will be a jury that will probably give him leniency, I would think.
Well, right. And thus I go back, and I'm still pretty much the only person drawing this line, Jim. I go back to Emmett Till. What happened when they had the original trial of the killers of Emmett Till?
Oh, Bob, you know what happened.
They walked and they laughed about it.
I don't even think they could open the casket for him, could they? Or
No, his mother insisted on an open casket.
Is that it?
And the photographs were carried in ebony and jet. And that's what sparked the outrage.
It's just incredible. And this kid was just walking down the street. This guy calls 911. And 911 tells him, do not pursue this person.
Yeah, this guy calls 911 like he has 46 times before.
Well, like I say, I mean, this is truly horrible. I mean, did the little boy live in that neighborhood?
He was at his daddy's house. Separate mom, separate daddy.
Right.
He was at his daddy's house. Watching the NBA All-Star game, he went out at halftime because I think it was his little brother wanted a snack. So he got himself a can of Arizona iced tea and a bag of Skittles for his brother.
And never came back.
he was within 70 feet of the safety of his father's home.
You know, this guy is, like I say, they're going to use all this prior 911 stuff, and they're going to try to portray him as some type of metal case.
Well, and if you listen to the audio, when you hear the opening call where he's telling them about, you know, these he looks suspicious and I think he's on something, and you can hear either intoxication or mental illness in his voice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had to call 911 a couple of times, and the first thing they tell you is, do not repeat, do not attempt to resolve the situation on your own. We're on the way.
Right.
And that's...
And for the city manager to come out and say, well, you know, that wasn't a lawful order. The dispatcher doesn't have the ability to give orders. He didn't have to do what the dispatcher said.
That's bullshit.
Well, did he... Where's the proof, Jim, that he knew he didn't have to do what the dispatcher said?
Well, this fruitcake, who knows? But, I mean, you know, any normal, sane person, if they are suspecting of danger... or in suspicion of danger, they're not going to go out and open themselves up for more. I mean, I have security lights around here. When they go on and stuff like that, unless it's an animal or whatever, I might call the finest around here.
Yeah.
Which ain't too good, I can tell you that.
Pretty broad stroke definition of finest.
Mm-hmm. Finest. I'll tell you... Where are they when you need them? They're always there when you don't. And if you call them for something, they act like you're doing them a favor, or they're doing you a favor.
Well, I will never forget, Jim, and I think I even mentioned it on the air back then. You know, when I was driving over to Beckley to do the radio show, you remember those days. I was driving. I was driving home. I had stopped at you know where McAdoo's is. A little inside baseball here, folks. I'd stopped at McAdoo's because I was actually going in to see if one of our jocks needed anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't even stay there long enough to have a beer. Didn't stay long enough to have a snack. Went in, spoke to him, and I got pulled over there where Lewis Chevrolet was. And I was taking a pizza home to my family.
Right.
And, you know, this idiot cop is going, what's in the box? I said,
what's in the box?
Can you read? Don't get an attitude with me, boy. You know, here I am, 40 years old, getting boy. I said, attitude? It's a box that says pizza, and you're the one that asked me what's in the box. If you want to see in the box, ask me, and I'll let you look in the box. And so he says, yeah, I want to see in the box. I said, let me show you my pizza. And I opened the box, and he says, what's that green stuff on the pizza?
Green stuff? Olive?
No, oregano.
Oh, my Lord.
What they do is they hang out there next to McAdoo's because, you know, they serve booze.
And they want to get a quota.
And they troll. And so he had decided that you know, I was a likely DUI desperado.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah. What's that stuff on the pizza? And you know, my first. You mean the pepperoni?
Well, how did this set to end? Did he finally?
Oh yeah, he walked away. Because I said, you know, at this point in time, either arrest me for possession of pizza with intent to deliver, or let me take it home before it's frozen.
What did he say?
He said, I don't like your attitude. I said, I don't like being pulled over for possession of pizza with intent to deliver. Now, what are we going to do about this? You want backup?
Well, you know, unless you bow and scrape and do some type of step and fetch it routine, their ego is assaulted, or they think it is. Their adequate amount of...
Well, do you remember the story, Jim, from a couple of months back about the guy who was refused a spot on the police squad because his IQ was too high?
Yeah, I do.
That.
You know, back in South Carolina, I was detailed to the Criminal Justice Academy down there to set up a reading test for these guys to be sure that they read on an eighth grade level using the test of adult basic education. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You talk about somebody being hated, and you talk about people being threatened. By that little test and that one piece of paper, they were all scared to death. And I was there for 1 year, and 1 year only. I set up the program. It's still in effect, I think. And I was never so glad to get back to the Army in all my life.
Gee,
now, these people were just...
Yeah, and it's not. And I'm guessing that little one-page test didn't have anything about gerunds on it or anything.
No, just, hey, test of adult basic education is what we give to soldiers when they come in the Army. And it ascertains their reading level, whether it's, you know, and they would like to... And the another thing that I tried to do for these people was to teach them how to write reports adequately. And, you know, to...
Oh, better to be Annie Sullivan with Helen at the pump.
Well, there you go. I mean, they resented the hell out of that because, I mean, their reports were written so badly that they were such an embarrassment they wouldn't stand up in court.
And, you know, sometimes the only remedy for that is to let a good defense lawyer read it into the record.
Yes, sir. You know, I got pulled one time by this hot shot cop in Columbia, and he said to me, well, listen, now you've got to come to court on this date because I'm going to be at National Guard training. I said, what date did you say, sir? He said, yeah, you be sure and be in the court on this date because I'm going to be gone for X number of all, for 9 weeks or something like that. I called the people down at the police station, got a continuation, made sure that that son of a bitch was away, and guess what?
Case dismissed.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with these people who do stuff like this, but I mean, good Lord in heaven. This boy is just shot by some crazy man or some man.
Some hateful man. I'm really careful about saying crazy because I'm sure you know what the Manhattan defense involves, and I don't think the guy could pass it. That's what these 24 days are for, is to get something into his system so that he can claim that he was out of his mind.
You really believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of logical. Like I say, if Dan White could get away with eating Twinkies after shooting the mayor and a supervisor in San Francisco, this guy can get away with anything.
Yeah. I got hold of some psilocybin-laced peanut butter crackers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably...
I thought he was the devil.
And the kid was just walking down the street.
Yeah. Literally. I mean, I've seen video... you probably have, too. I've seen video footage of it, Jim. It was just, you know, that tan stuccoed kind of construction that you see all over Florida.
Yeah.
The young man had walked to 7-Eleven, Skittles, and a can of iced tea, and he was executed for it. You know, that's another one of those moments, like, you know, the guy went hunting. He was executed.
Well, what I don't understand is, why did the guy regard the 911 dispatcher's admonition just to say, oh, we'll take care of it? I mean, obviously...
Well, he answered his own question. It's after she says, we need for you not to do that. It's after that when he's sitting there and he says... And you can hear him beginning to seethe, Jim. He says, these assholes always get away. Yeah, I mean, what... there's all kind, you know. Maybe he was watching that Michael Douglas movie, and he was unduly influenced by it. Maybe he was watching. Maybe it had been a Michael Douglas movie, Charles Bronson movie, double feature earlier that day, and he was just predisposed toward. No, there's no way this guy is not lawyered up by now.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
It's not going to be some public defender.
You know, I just don't understand people like that. I mean, I've seen all those movies you're talking about, but they don't make me want to go outside and shoot somebody.
No, but that's because You have a healthy, functioning human brain. This guy is all lizard brain. He's all amygdala.
I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you, there's so many things that are happening bad around the world. I mean, this visit to France with this guy with Toulouse, who shot how many children?
Yeah, and as I hotted up the mic, I guess they were still surrounding his place.
Oh, and they've located him.
Yeah, and they said he was a member of Al Qaeda.
Because,
and then here's this one. I mean, this is one of those moments. Whatever his name was, cross-matched to the name of an individual who had been imprisoned in Kandahar, who had escaped, get this, Jim, with 600 other prisoners. You remember the big prison escape a few months back?
Mm-hmm.
Inside job from the inside out?
Right.
This guy may have been one of the 600 that got out. And he had gone and he had killed 3 French paratroopers, all with the same weapon. And they had, and the 3 French paratroopers had either been black or Arabic.
Right.
And then he rode up to this school and started blowing away Jewish children.
And how many did he kill?
Four, I think. One child, he grabbed her by the hair. This is too much.
That's okay.
He grabbed her by the hair, tried to shoot her in the head. The gun misfired. He put that one away and shot her with the other one.
And then took pictures so he could watch.
Apparently so, yeah. You know, the as David in Tennessee points out, Jim, the other big tell, so to speak, in the Martin case, is that Zimmerman can be heard more than once saying, his hoodie's pulled up over his head, but it was raining.
Well, I mean, I have one of those jackets like that where you have a hood. I mean, big deal. I mean, he's using that as an excuse. I just don't understand that type of violence against another human being just because they're black or whatever. And just because he had a wild hair up his ass and he decided he was going to make one of those 911 calls a real reality that nobody...
Well, he's had 46 calls, and the cops come out, and it almost always turns out to be nothing. And they won't pay any attention to him, and he wants somebody to pay attention to him because he's important. He's the self-appointed neighborhood watch captain, doggone it. And he went to all the trouble of getting that concealed carry permit, and he's got him a shooting gun and everything.
Well, you know, normally, if you call more than a certain number of times for something like that, the police won't come. I mean, because you have a record. They've got a database right there. They see how many times you called, and if you, you know, for something like that, I'm surprised they would come.
Well, listen to the voice of the dispatcher when she says, "Are you following him? Okay, we need you not to do that." That's the voice of somebody who's dealt with this creep before.
You know, with this proliferation of handguns and things like this, the people who are managed to pay them, I mean, it's a truly dangerous situation. I mean, it's just like Dodge City.
It's a dangerous country. I mean, there's nowhere where you're safe.
No.
I mean, I'm more afraid of white folks with guns than I am the walking down a nighttime, you know, Ferg and I walked, I mean, you know you're D.C. We walked from our hotel a block and a half down to a little Chinese carryout on the south end of Capitol Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's nothing there. But,
no.
You know, so-called blight.
Yeah, it's pretty much gone.
I wasn't worried about that. But I am scared to death of Jim Bob at Walmart deciding that I pose a threat, or my son poses a threat, or my daughter. Because I've seen him. I mean, you know, we live in the same general geographical area. I have seen these people marching into Walmart with guns strapped onto their hips.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then there's the story from a few years back about the, what was it, the guy who went back to the, went to Walmart to fill his antipsychotic medication, and while he was there decided to go back to the sporting goods department and buy him a shooting iron, and then went nuts.
Oh, yeah. At the Kroger near me, some guy went in there and held him up with a bow and arrow for OxyContin. Can you believe that?
Probably a Ted Nugent fan, Jim. I've got to get out of here.
Well, take care.
All right. Bye now. So good buddy Jim across the way. It is time to get out. Thanks for everybody who makes all this happen. You with your kind contributions, the all-volunteer staff of the Horn. Thanks to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go there, learn about the work of Coal River Mountain Watch. Maybe even get one of those really cool T-shirts while you're there. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.